Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to On the Bench. I am your host for today's episode, Brendan Sinone. Have a pretty big news story to get to, a lot of clarification, something I'm sure you guys are all wanting to hear about. Chris, FSU got a basketball commitment yesterday.
They sure did. They got a shooter. We got a shooter.
You stole from UCF too, you SOB. We'll get into that in a little bit. But let's get to where everyone wants to get to, and that is the Amarius Mims saga. Mims the word. It is wrapped up, finalized, not the way we had hoped for, not the way we had believed it was going on Friday when we last pod and we were optimistic that things were going in a good direction for FSU. A lot changed since then. So we're going to get into kind of what happened and put a wrap on this recruitment. So Josh, first off, thoughts on where that thread, that 70,000 view thread ended. Is that the most miraculous thing you've seen in your time at Knowles 24/7? Yes. It's got to be top five.
700,000, almost to a million views. Wasn't really expecting Amarius Mims to the saga to come to an end on Monday morning, but it did. This has been the greatest thread to grace the Knowles 24/7 message boards. And, you know, even though it didn't end like we wanted to, I think the thing that we can all say from this is we got the Mims thread. So there's actually a consolation prize.
So real quick, let's go around the horn here. Zach is also with us today. It's a full bench. I'll start off by saying my favorite part of that thread was the one night everyone got bored and did a bunch of Leonardo DiCaprio gifts. I think that was my favorite part. That was art right there. Zach, what was your favorite part for the Mims thread?
Dude, there's so much. I mean, obviously the whole Miami board like crossover thing was pretty funny.
That was early on.
Yeah, and that's crazy to think that that was within that thread. That feels like a month ago now, with all the stuff that went over during the weekend. Obviously, all the new stuff after the news came out yesterday was pretty wild. There was like 50 more pages added to that thread yesterday. But yeah, I like that initial Miami reaction when they realized he wasn't going to make it to campus.
All right, Josh, what was your favorite?
Just the meltdowns, just the roller coaster of emotions that thread brings. If you take the time to read through all 7,500 posts, take the time to do that. It's a roller coaster of emotions.
We should be able to sell that as like an NFT or a book or something like that. We should get CBS get on it and sell it as a book. There, people would buy that, right?
I'm working on it.
Okay, making deals. Chris, what was your favorite part of it when you could unpin it?
Exactly.
I knew the end of it. The end of it. All right. So we're all laughing here, and some of you are probably like, why are they laughing? This is awful. And yeah, so Amarius Mims, a long story short, enters the transfer portal last Sunday. The recruitment goes about a week. He technically, I think, takes his name out of the transfer portal. It shows up on Monday, but probably Sunday evening is when that happens. So it lasted for a week. He was in the portal for a week. FSU gave it its best shot, but he opts to decide to return back to Georgia, his comfort zone, and where his base of friends for the last year have been. So, Josh, maybe you can get us from where we potted last Friday. I'm talking about crystal balls, and you're very optimistic, and where, I guess, things kind of changed for FSU to where Amarius Mims doesn't end up at Florida State.
Yeah, let's take it right back to kind of the spot that we ended last week's pod. We were very optimistic. I reported in my Friday 9:45 a.m. update that I'm hearing that it could all come to an end today, that at the end of the day, Mims could be informing FSU of his decision. I reported on Friday morning, a source tells me that there's going to be a get-together taking place before the end of the visit on Friday, where Mims will be around the FSU coaching staff and the current players on the offensive line. It's at this meeting that he could inform FSU of his decision. Not saying it's going to happen. We'll let things play out. But I believe that FSU has a shot to wrap this up today. So what happened between my 9:45 a.m. update and today? Well, you know, recruiting is it's always unexpected. There's always something unexpected heading around the corner. And in this case, it was a unfortunate, tragic incident that took place. One of Amarius Mims' best friends was in a car accident. I believe the car accident was on Wednesday evening or Thursday evening. And Amarius's friend passed away on Friday, and Mims got the word shortly thereafter that he didn't make it. And, you know, Mims broke down. Family was very upset. There's the Amarius Mims' mother is friends with the mother of the child that passed away. So it's just very emotional. I'm told that it really stopped the family in their tracks. Amarius specifically was very emotional for almost 45 minutes. They were on their way to a photo shoot. You know, the visit was just underway. It was about halfway through the day on Friday of what they were planning to do. And, you know, things change. And this is recruiting, and this is just life, more importantly. And at that moment, you know, the visit just, there was more important things for Amarius Mims and his family to do, and they needed to get home. So Amarius went back to his hometown around noon on Friday. So unfortunately, you know, just the way life works out, the visit ended, but it didn't really conclude. At least it didn't conclude the way that the itinerary was expected to play out that day. So there was no meeting with Mims and the coaching staff. There was no formal goodbye. There was no opportunity at the end of this emotional visit to say, yeah, I'm shutting it down and I'm coming to Florida State. It just kind of, it concluded. It was a good trip. It was a great trip, but things changed at the end. And he went home. The weekend came through, and he decided to put his name back in the portal. Now, I'm told that Amarius Mims put his name back in the portal on Sunday, and he informed the FSU coaching staff on Sunday evening that he was indeed going to stay at UGA, and news started to leak out by Monday morning. And he was officially in the portal by midday. I'm sorry. Amarius Mims' name was officially out of the transfer portal, like Brendan said, on Monday around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. And at that point, it was officially done. The week-long recruitment of Amarius Mims was over. Mims took one trip, like Brendan said. There's rumors of others, Miami, UCF, USC. Couple other programs were also trying to get him on campus, but at the end of the day, Amarius decided that it was best for him to remain at Georgia.
So before everything went as it did at the end of the visit, the consistent school I kept hearing from people on the ground here was UCF. If he was taken on a visit, which they weren't convinced he definitely would, but it was also not completely dismissed. It was consistently UCF. And I know there was all the Miami chatter in the world. There was an interest in USC, but I don't think that would have played out because of the parents' interest in him being closer to home. It was UCF. So I just thought that was interesting since there was so much really chatter about Miami.
And I'm not joking. Like, I think legitimately, like, he wanted to go to Disney World. Like, that was part of – that was might have intriguing.
Been, but and, it was –
I mean, UCF's the Harvard of Orlando. It produces amazing journalists and like whatever.
It has more to do with the coaches there than schools known before
national
you go,
championships.
Before you go making a pitch for your alma mater.
I'm just
it
saying,
had more to do with the coaches at UCF that Disney he knew and liked from Auburn.
Too.
Okay. So, yeah, that was interesting because there was all the rumors that he was going to leave. And come to find out, it was he was going to leave Tallahassee. And like we knew, I think the mother was going home or the father was going home or something.
Dad, I believe, had already gone home because of work or something along those lines by plan. Mom and him were here together on Friday when it concluded abruptly and departed together.
But what a crazy twist that would have been. Amarius Mims leaves Tallahassee and then shows up at UCF. Like all, you know, the message boards, it would have been another crazy twist in the saga, but it never happened. So
like any fine saga that plays out like this, where everybody gets super emotionally invested, and obviously it's a kid that's significant because it changes the pecking order of a position that's insanely important for FSU's future fortunes. Everybody loves to blame somebody. I exited yesterday. I don't really think anybody needs to be blamed in this.
No.
FSU didn't screw up. FSU actually did a unbelievably good job. One, they're the only one that secured a visit. Two, they were lined up for it the moment he hit the portal. Three, they had an NIL package that was appealing and would have worked and is a major reason why I think there was a great deal of optimism he would end up in Tallahassee.
A proposed
four, circumstances or circumstances.
NIL package. Go ahead. You've got to be careful with the NIL phrasing, Chris. That's it. Just be careful. You can't say NIL package.
A couple of things that I learned throughout this was
NIL opportunities.
Okay. It's not pay for play. You're right.
One of the things that we got to dispel, or not dispel, but I just want to address the rumors about the money. Amarius Mims didn't leave Georgia because they weren't paying him enough money. Amarius Mims didn't go back to Georgia because they're paying him more money. Money was never a problem with Georgia. Like, Georgia's the defending national champions and is probably sitting on the biggest pile of money right now, maybe outside of Alabama. So Mims, you got to understand, Mims wanted to see what opportunities were out there. I think his parents were on board for him going to Florida State. We also learned throughout this process that Florida State has an NIL package that is going to be competitive for any elite prospect that hits the portal that has interest in Florida State. So I'm not saying Florida State can just go in and get anybody because of their NIL
opportunities,
but they can compete with a program. If a big time transfer portal prospect is interested in FSU, they have a competitive NIL opportunity for them that can go up against anybody in the country, because Amarius Mims would have never made it on campus if FSU didn't have that. That was just like a formality. Like, if Florida State doesn't have this and it's not competitive, we're not even going to go look at that. So I think the coaching staff needs to also know that, because they're getting this communication for their. They're of the understanding that FSU has a competitive NIL opportunity, but you don't know it until you get to test it out. And this was a situation where Amarius Mims went back to Georgia because he was comfortable there. He went back after having a tragedy occur in his life, and his former teammates were not upset that he was in the portal. They were there for him. The coaches were there for him. And it just felt like, for him, he needed to be at Georgia. He needed to stay at Georgia. So he remained there. But we did learn some things throughout this recruitment. And if you're going to talk about how this recruitment ended and you talk best case scenario, I think Amarius Mims going back to Georgia is best case scenario for Florida State, because this thing could have ended wildly different. Okay. Imagine if he does end up at Miami. And not only do you have to play him, but this is a significant NIL battle that they won, a recruiting battle that they won. Mario, this could have played out a lot worse for Florida State than it did.
Yeah, best case scenario, other than
would be him playing for the Seminoles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying best case scenario for him not coming.
I enjoy next season a little bit more, just a tad.
We knew what you meant, but there's someone who's going to be.
If I told you at the beginning of this recruitment that he's not going to end up at Miami and he's just going to end up at either UGA or FSU, you'd be like, all right, that's good. But if he ended up at Miami, that could have been bad on many levels.
Yeah. Some of us might have had to get private on Twitter if that happened.
Yeah. Zach.
Why me?
It was a joke. He was clearly talking about me. Anywho, Josh, I would take your point about FSU kind of realizing where it stands in the pecking order in the NIL era and that it's probably not going to get embarrassed. I'll take it one step further. I think I could make the case that Florida State exits this in a stronger position with NIL because of the way people rallied around Rising Spear. I think they're up to almost 900 members now. And I think the fan base is kind of awoken to, like, this is important. This is something that has to be allocated towards, like, at least to an extent. You have to be active in NIL. You have to be aggressive and to have opportunities to entice people to look at your program. Like, that's part of this now. And I think we realize, like you said, FSU wasn't embarrassed this past week, that they will be able to be competitive for guys who are interested in the school. Obviously, you have to start closing on these deals too. You can't finish in second multiple times over and over, but you have to close. But there's something there. You're not going to just be, you know, DOA. Like, there's a chance. And if anything, I think you know, there's some chance to kind of build on the NIL stuff and just people subscribing to Rising Spear. I think that was probably helpful ultimately this week. You got to capitalize on the next one. You can't miss again, I think.
But, yeah, you need a visible win in the realm of NIL.
Yeah.
But where they are in April versus where they were in December is drastically better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it needed to get better. But yeah, I agree with you.
I think the class would have, if they were in December where they are now, Chris, I think they probably would have gotten Tyree West or I think it would have looked a little bit different. It's a top 10 recruiting class potentially. I don't think Travis Hunter would have made a difference. I think that was kind of an act of God in just the circumstances with Deion and whatnot. But I think you would have been closer with some of the other guys potentially. So anyways, those were takeaways. Anything else on Mims, fellas, before we move on?
Are we going to be doing this a third time?
I don't feel like we're going to be. I don't think it's gonna be beneficial for Zach and I to be camped out at a hotel for whoever like is, but we're gonna, the coaches, they still need an offensive lineman, and we're gonna start transitioning to transfer portal talk. Like there's a finite amount of time to kind of figure out who's on the board and who you're gonna get on campus. We'll transition to that, but we're gonna be doing the same song and dance again. It won't probably be someone to the extent of Amarius Mims. It won't capture the fan base like Mims did, but you gotta lick your wounds and get right back to it because you have to try to bring in a couple more players in the transfer portal. So with that in mind, let's get to the transfer portal. Oh, sorry. My bad, Chris. I talked over you.
You're all good. I was just going to say, I don't expect Mims to do anything before May 1st, which is an important date, which you'll get to here in a second.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
If he plays less than 200 snaps next year, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility we're talking about this again come December, January.
Let's go. Oh, do we even make a new thread or do we just bump the old one?
Bring back the old one.
Yeah, we definitely have to bump the old one.
The Undertaker GIF, right?
I just start the updates right away, but just put the year on there.
Yeah, we'll see about that. All right, transfer portal, Josh.
All right, so the significant date that we're looking at is May 1st. May 1st isn't the end of the transfer portal, but if you are going to declare yourself for transfer, it has to be done by May 1st. So as of April 19, there's a chance that we could see a flurry of action of guys entering the portal. Not necessarily decisions. You don't have to have your mind made up by May 1. But if you want to play for a different team in the upcoming season, you have to be in the portal by May 1. So you think you're getting a reprieve from the portal, but it's about to heat up.
It's going to be a mass exodus of sorts all across the country.
Ooh. Ooh, everybody leaving.
So that's the timeline as we kind of gather. I think we'll be able to start writing more stories about the transfer portal and like position groups that we're going to focus on and like who the options are, and you'll at least have an idea of the options. But let's kind of take a reflection right now where FSU stands with his current roster composition. Josh, this is where you say the numbers
always work out.
All right, let's get to what the numbers are currently as projected. This isn't 100% accurate.
Here's the deal. If the numbers never, if there's a chance that the numbers don't work out, I'll get it tattooed on me somewhere. Like if one year the numbers don't work out, I'll get it tattooed.
What would that look like to you? Like what would the numbers not working out look like to you? Like them having to cut someone or what would that look like?
I don't know. That's the thing. They always work out.
I feel like we're going to put ink on it. Like there needs to be
getting that tattooed because they always work out.
All right. So Chris, I'm about to loop you in here with numbers to help me out. But so the NCAA has a scholarship limit every year for the roster. It's 85. That remains intact. Mm-hmm. This cycle, though, because of COVID and all the transfers going on, there's a +7 rule. So you can sign 25 in a class, plus an additional 7 as long as you have at least 7 transfers. Basically, it's one transfer for each additional scholarship spot you get. FSU is either at 7 or will be over 7. You can get the +7. You still have to remain under 85, at 85 or fewer scholarships, though, so you can't go over that limit. As of right now, Chris, I got FSU at 84 projected scholarship players set to be on the roster at the start of preseason camp. So math me, big guy. What does that mean going forward?
4 to 6.
Spots for transfers?
Yes, for FSU to add.
Right now, they could take six guys at a maximum within the +7, but you'd still need a few more players to enter the portal.
Yeah, you'd need 5 more.
Right. You could take seven. Numbers. That's not right. So you could take 7 players more, but you need 6 more to enter the portal. So you could still have 7 more transfer additions. But you're saying, Chris, you think we're going to stick in the probably 4 sweet spot?
Yeah, I think it's more likely 4-6 because of the amount of attrition we still expect. We don't expect it to bleed. We expect just a few that don't really need to be here because they're not contributing, haven't done anything in their careers to go ahead and exit stage left.
Okay, so let's go over, fellas, the position groups that we've been doing this exercise for a while now, but with the Mims saga and everyone was starting to count, okay, you could do this with the offensive line, you can move this guy to this spot, this guy to this spot. We got to calm ourselves down and remember that that didn't happen. So FSU enters this stretch of the offseason still needing, in my estimation, at least one offensive lineman. I would say definitively two. Do you guys, buy or Sinone, at least two offensive linemen are needed to wrap up this portal segment successfully?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I don't know if I'm going to play buy or Sinone on this, but I've talked to sources. And so knowing that the numbers always work out, they would take probably two offensive linemen.
Why won't you play by or Sinone?
You going to do this at every position, or can I just tell you what the plan is?
I just tell me the plan. I don't care anymore. Well, we're waiting.
The plan is to not take a transfer quarterback. I do not think that they are going to intend to take a transfer quarterback anymore. I've been asking around, and you know, the sentiment after early signing day was a lot different than it is now. I think if one fell in their lap that they couldn't turn down, of course they would take him. But most importantly, they're looking for dynamic offensive skill players. Number one. So that could be a running back, wide receiver, tight end. I guess that's it.
Those are skill players.
Those are the skill players.
You ready to go forward? He started thinking about offensive linemen with the ball.
I think they would take two offensive linemen. I think they would take a pass rusher. I think they would take a linebacker, and I think they would take a DB. Not saying, like, you know.
Best player available is more likely on defense, specific to a position.
Right. What's up with it's Daryl Jackson, correct, Chris? Did we talk about that on the Friday pod? I don't even know if we got to that.
I don't think so. Gadsden County former.
Do you buy or Sinone him, Chris?
I don't want to play this game.
Right now, I fall in on the or portion of that combo. I don't know if FSU definitely takes him. Florida's involved. Miami's involved. Tennessee's involved. There might be somebody else I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Gadsden County kid, played with Josh Farmer in high school. Big D lineman. Played a good bit at Maryland last year. I describe him as a big body disruptor. The nice thing about him is you get multiple years. Corey Fuller, who's on FSU staff, supremely familiar with him, Corey Fuller was his coach in high school. We'll see. He's supposed to be back in early May. I think it was, what, 5th to 7th, Zach? Do you remember the dates?
Official visit set for May 5th to May 7th for him.
So we'll see when we get there. To me, he's not a guy that fits the idea of what they need on defense, but the valuable amount of years, and the fact they over-recruit the D-line, I could see it being part of the class, yes.
So best player available on defense, I think, could pretend to someone like, so you could talk about like an inside-outside defensive lineman to help out with the pass rush. Depending if there's any more attrition in the secondary, like you might need to beef up your numbers there, but like, do you take a one-year guy or do you take someone who you think could potentially be a multi-year contributor? A linebacker, I don't know if they're... I feel pretty good about linebacker, unless there's someone who's just an automatic like starter to Kalen DeLoach. Like, I don't know if there's someone who you're going to get just as a depth piece at this point. So I think that's what would be the plan on defense, 1-2 there. I know Josh said a skill player on offense, and I agree. Like, I think if you can get... I would narrow it down more so to, just for me, like, I think a pass catcher, whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver. I think I feel better about the running back room than I do of the other position groups on offense right now, which I didn't feel that way going into the spring, but I think the emergence of Trey Benson kind of alleviates some of that concern. So I think you know what you would have with Benson and Ward. So unless you get like this prolific, like proven 1,000-yard rusher available to you, which, if you do, go for it. But if not, I think you're just looking for like a quality wide receiver at this point.
And some of that's because Winston Wright's injury. Obviously changed the dynamics of things a bit. I think a lot of people thought Winston Wright would contend to be the number one receiver. And obviously Winston can still get back this year and contribute. But losing that spring, having the injury, it's a more difficult situation than it was when he arrived here back in January. it would be lovely for FSU to get somebody like a Tyler Harrell, who is in there from Louisville, but Bama is all in on him, and probably, you know, if Bama wants him, Bama gets him type of thing. But he's an elite speed wide receiver, big play type of guy. I think he only had 18 catches last year, but he had like 500 plus yards. That speaks to the explosiveness he can bring to an offense. Sinone, why are you making the face?
You don't want to know. It had nothing to do with you. I pulled up the Knowles 24/7 homepage, and
I thought I thought you were unhappy with my recommendation of Tyler Harrell.
No, that's like a good player. The trendy now stories were number two was a UCF football story, number three was a UCF football story. And as much as I love UCF football, FSU fans, what are you doing to click on that to make that the trendy now stories? Have some pride, damn it. That's it. I didn't want that to be part of the show. I just saw it and I made a face. I didn't think you were looking at me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So every time I said Tyler Harrell, you just cringed as though you'd smelled bad bourbon.
There's no such thing as bad bourbon. Moving on with the show here. Chris, coaches are hitting the road this week. What do we got, big guy?
They are. Alex Atkins going to see a big man. Luke Burgess, offensive lineman from New Palestine, Indiana. That's a today visit. Chris Thompson, I believe, is over in Texas. I think he went to see Justice Ugo yesterday at Blinn College, and he's going to bounce around some. Zach also has more, so I'll hand the baton off to him.
Yeah, I just wanted to note this. I said this on a past podcast, but this is the first time Norvell at Florida State has been able to use this April, May eval period since he's been here. So I think it's, you know, pretty cool to note they're going to get after it on the road. I don't think they're all going to be like on the road at the same time. They're going to still have some visitors trickling in onto, you know, their campus for on-campus visits for the remainder of April. But once May rolls around and spring practices in full force for these high schools, they're going to be out and about. Today, quarterbacks coach Tony Tilcars will be in Tennessee checking in on FSU quarterback commit Chris Parson over at Ravenwood High School. And then I believe David Johnson, running back coach at Florida State, will be over in Louisiana, making some stops in his home state and in the region he recruits.
So to add some more information on the eval period, it goes basically 6 weeks from April 15th to the end of May. During that time, a school like FSU traditionally will go see out-of-state kids mostly in those first 2 weeks. And then they concentrate more on Florida's and then also Georgia, Alabama, the more immediate regional ones. Also the areas where they offer more kids for the chunk of the beginning of May. And then they'll go and do a second visit with most of the kids. You get two visits. Essentially, the first is to pull transcripts. The second is like a eval watch them, whether that's practice, spring game, whatever. Obviously, when you pull the transcripts, you might walk by the practice field as they're practicing. That's just what schools do. That's not an FSU thing. That's a general how this works. But you can't really communicate with the kids. You can talk to their coaches, obviously, stuff like that. There's a lot of kind of idiotic rules for the fact that college football is sped up so much, and those rules shouldn't matter anymore because we don't enforce any rules. So why are we doing these stupid rules? But anyways, I digress. But yeah, FSU will get out and see a lot of kids out of state first. And then in-state and immediate region, more so after the fact. Like, for example, next week, I expect them in Mississippi. I know Thompson's supposed to do, I believe, Texas most of this week, and I presume he'll be in South Georgia starting next week. That's an area. Tokars is going from Tennessee to, I believe, out west to deal with the Western guys that we recruit. He's kind of taking that territory from Kenny Dillingham after his departure. And then I presume he'll work back and probably do the Carolinas to see somebody like Jaden Davis, and then he'll work his way down and see Luke Cromenhawk in Savannah before coming back here. That's probably his plan for the next 2 weeks or so.
And the last thing that we want to get to here is what we led the show with, the big news that FSU got a hoops transfer.
Yeah, I saw Josh trolling that FSU lands UCF guard, and people just – they were in their feelings, Josh, and you just had to poke them.
I felt like I just wanted to bring good news to the timeline. I thought Florida State landing a transfer guard from UCF would get people fired up.
Yeah. Well, it's 6'5", 190-pound guard. Started all 29 games last year that he appeared in.
Can he play tackle? 13.3. That's what the people want to know.
I don't think he can play tackle. I think he would struggle just a bit. It might be better than Chazneau, but I think he would struggle. Averaged 13.3 per game, over 30.9 minutes per game. 40% shooter from the field, but 38.5% from deep, which was best in the AAC last year, which Sinone down there would definitely tell you is murderer's row. FSU needed shooters. They needed guys with veteran experience. He is an example of that. Second transfer taken along with Jalen Gainey. I think they're going to take at least one more transfer. They're actually at 13 right now if you're counting scholarships, but first rule of covering Leonard Hamilton is don't count his scholarships. So still a possibility of adding another one. I think right now it's leaning more towards a big than a guard. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they would add one of each, though, if they were somehow able to maneuver the numbers.
What do you think Cam would do if I start counting his scholarships as poorly as I count the football ones and can't articulate it like we do on this podcast?
That 70-year-old man would chase you down and do so too.
All right, but so that's some good news.
Yeah, the men's basketball team is going to look drastically different, but I think they've done a good job of investing the idea of some good young talent with the recruiting class they signed earlier. And now they're adding experience and guys who played to some of their weaknesses, which was shooting and rim defending slash rebounding last year. So far, the two transfers they've taken definitely address some of those needs. They're still looking to address them further.
Hey, what's up with the Butler kid?
He hasn't done anything officially. From what I understand, he's going to declare and retain eligibility. And I think he would have to technically do the paperwork to do that this week.
I was going to say
Sunday at midnight, I think it's the deadline, technically. Okay. Now, I don't know if he has announced. I believe the league, NBA, eventually puts out who has declared with, you know, with eligibility versus, you know, with signing an agent. So he's opted not to put anything out there. But I was told that, heck, I feel like a month ago now. And every time I've checked on it, I check on it a couple times a week right now. Nothing has changed with that. So I still believe that is the expectation is that he does that.
Okay. All right. That's everything I had. That's FSU related. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on this. I'm a big fan of Cadbury cream eggs this time of year. Buy or Sinone, Cadbury cream egg.
I'm a Reese's egg guy.
Ooh, Reese's eggs are really good. Anything shaped Reese's is solid. The peanut butter ratio goes up.
I've never had the Cadbury one.
You should try one. They're delightful.
Nah, it's against my religion.
I think if you're Jewish, you're allowed to eat a cream egg.
No.
The thing that's unsettling, I will say, though, is they actually like emulate a yolk in there, like they put like a fake yolk, which is a little unsettling, but in general,
yeah, I'm gonna pass.
Pass over. That's it. <All right. laughs> For Josh Newberg, Zach Blaustein, Chris Nee, I'm Brendan Sinone, putting an end to the Marius Mims saga. Mims the word, Mims, we hardly
need.
Oh, Chris, wrap it up. Put it on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.